Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids in the fear and the admonition of the Lord in the 21st century, nearing a time in which faith, family, and freedom is big time under assault. Steve Vaughn, also in studio with me right now. And there is a critical Senate race that is happening this week, Steve, as Judge Roy Moore in the state of Alabama is attempting the most controversial Senate race in the country, and certainly the most influential Senate race in the country, because the Republicans apparently need another Republican vote, and the election is coming up. Now, the liberals are all upset with Judge Roy Moore because they think he sinned against God 38 years ago. And,
really?
You know, my guess is he did.
Yeah.
My guess is he did.
Really?
It's just the liberals tend to get the wrong sin. They define sin the wrong way. There's no forgiveness with them. They don't require two or three witnesses or the crying out in the case of a man taking advantage of a woman. Outside of that, the liberals are doing okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Seems like there's some liberals in the same mess.
Yeah, and we've talked about the accusations without two or three witnesses and how absolutely important it is for the crying out in the country, the crying out in the city. And by the way, crying out doesn't happen 38 years after the fact, okay? Let's just get that straight, especially when a man is up for the most powerful seat in the country. Okay, we all understand those issues. Apparently, Judge Roy Moore made a comment on George Soros yesterday on a radio station with Brian Fisher. And George Soros, of course, being one of the most powerful men in the country, a man who is liberal, progressive, anti-God, anti-God's law, certainly in favor of about every single organization that persecutes Christians, embraces homosexuality, and kills babies. That's George Soros. George Soros is probably the most influential, most liberal billionaire in the country, opposing God at every single point. And this is what Judge Roy Moore said about George Soros yesterday. Here's the quote. No matter how much money he's got, he's still going to the same place that people who don't recognize God and morality and accept his salvation are going. And that's not a good place. Okay, so that's the comment from Roy Moore. The liberals all upset about that because, well, the liberals don't believe in hell either. Except they just use the word all the time.
Yeah, they don't believe in God either, and they misuse his name all the time, too.
Yeah, so it's funny, you know, they don't believe in it, and yet they use the word constantly. Okay, so, but anyway, the liberals are very upset with Roy Moore and his comment on George Soros, which, I mean, it's right. He's going to the same place that people who don't recognize God, morality, and accept his salvation are going. And as far as I know, George Soros has not accepted God's salvation. And he is going to hell. Now, he didn't say hell, but he says it's not a good place. So I'm assuming what Judge Roy Moore meant was that George Soros is on his way to hell.
Yeah, that's at least what it sounds like.
All right. Well, friends, we believe that the standard is God's law. We don't believe that Judge Roy Moore is without sin, but nobody has the right to accuse him of a specific sin unless you have two or three witnesses to substantiate it, and we're not taking the word of somebody who said, yes, he took advantage of me 38 years ago, and yet there was no crying out. That's the principle. We are principled on the station. We stand for the laws of God as determined by God himself. And I know liberals disagree with us, but excuse me, but I don't accept the laws of liberals. I don't care what liberals say. What, are they the standard of righteousness? Do they define what is good and evil, right and wrong? Give me a break. The liberal definition of right and wrong varies every year or two or three years. Their best liberal, Woodrow Wilson, endorsed the ban on interracial marriage, and he began the discrimination and the segregation of African Americans in federal agencies in the 1920s. So, okay, that's what liberals do. And then they come up with new ways to break God's laws in the 1970s as they begin to embrace the killing of babies wholesale and then the trading of baby body parts as well. This is what liberals do. They break God's law here and there and here and there, and they mock those who are steadfastly committed to the laws of God from one generation to the next. And that's why we are putting together a Christian history of America in which we bring God's law to bear on Woodrow Wilson, Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, and yes, Barack Obama. We are going to bring God's law to bear on every era, on every president, and on every issue with a new American history course. It's all part of our biblical worldview curriculum available at our website, generation.org or kevinswanson.com. And this is Kevin Swanson. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the most charitable men in the world who are evil. Yes, the most charitable men in the United States, the most charitable men in the world are evil men like George Soros. Now, why is that? How does this work? That the most charitable, the most wonderful men in the world turn out to be the most evil men in the world. Talk about that next on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case, a historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
Back on the Generations Broadcast, Kevin Swanson here today as we discuss George Soros. Judge Roy Moore went after his arch enemy, and that is the source of evil, the source of monies that tends to fund some of the most evil organizations in America. And indeed, power does corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and appears that George Soros is one of the, if not the most powerful liberal in American philanthropy funds. The American Civil Liberties Union, Planned Parenthood Action Fund, ACORN, Emily List, which is a pro-abortion political action group. Then also he funds People for the American Way, Right Wing Watch, and Southern Poverty Law Center, which are organizations that have gone after just about every Christian ministry in America and created a bad reputation for as many Christians as possible in order to shame Christians and to shame them so that they will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. And theirs is the kingdom of heaven, of course, so we're not concerned about that kind of thing. But if anybody is out there persecuting Christians, encouraging homosexuality or killing babies, it's George Soros' money that's funding it. And it turns out that these are some of the most generous men in America. Why is it that the most generous, most wonderful, most charitable men in the world are evil? It's interesting. It's very interesting. And the five most generous men in America are the liberals. Their major contributions... established socialist governments, more abortions, more destruction to families. And this from Fortune magazine, my father cut out the list of the greatest philanthropists in the world right now. And the top five happen to be rich Americans. And I'm talking about $5-6 billion this year have gone to contribute to evil causes. Generally, their charitable contributions tend to be destructive. And number one, of course, is Warren Buffett at $2.8 billion. He's the most wonderful charitable man in the world. Warren Buffett gave away $2.8 billion last year. He is, of course, the number one most dangerous man in the world when it comes to his funding because he funds abortion big time. He is the largest abortion funder, private funder in the world. He's recently given $250 million to abortion groups funneled through the Susan Thompson Buffett Foundation, and then he's also given as much as $1.8 billion since 2003 to pro-abortion organizations. $1.8 billion to pro-abortion organizations. There's nobody who's given that much money to killing babies. There's nobody more responsible for the slaughter of the innocents in the world as Warren Buffett, with the exception, of course, of large federal governments. But it's the private funds that encourages and funds political campaigns to enable federal governments to provide their hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars and billions and billions and billions of dollars to pro-abortion organizations like Planned Parenthood. You follow how that works, Steve? You have to prime the pumps through funding organizations like the Emily List in order to get the right people elected in the Republican Party as well as the Democrat Party to be sure that Planned Parenthood funding continues to the tune of billions upon billions of dollars generation after generation. And of course, in order to prime the pump, you need these wonderful charitable men who are the most evil men in the world to bring about these huge donors. And that's why it's very, very, very dangerous for men like Roy Moore to engage the spiritual warfare, to name these names and point out the most evil men in the world right now. Multi-billionaire Warren Buffett has given up to $1.8 billion since 2003 to pro-abortion causes. And by the way, the number two on the list of the greatest benefactors that contribute to evil causes around the world, number two on the list is the Bill and Melinda Gates couple. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation provided $71 million to Planned Parenthood in 2013. In 2015, they promised another $120 million to family planning 2020 programs that support the rights of women and girls to decide when and how many children they will have, so on and so on. So the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is out in front doing what they can to kill babies in other parts of the world as well. The foundation also is the biggest early backer of the Common Core State Standards Initiative. In October 2017, it was announced that Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation would spend more than $1.7 billion over 5 years to encourage public education in America. So again, if it's social, if it involves public education, if it involves the killing of babies, if it involves a social system that has been entirely corrupted over the last 50, 60, 70, 80 years, thanks to Margaret Sanger and others, it is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that's behind it. And then thirdly, the third largest benefactor in the world right now is Michael Bloomberg. You know who he is?
Yeah, New York.
He was the New York mayor.
Yeah.
And he has contributed $600 million last year. In July of 2012, his foundation committed $50 million to the Global Family Planning Initiative. And he's also trying to shut down the coal industry. His main thing is environmentalism.
Yeah. And then not drinking big gulps.
Drinking the big gulps. Yeah. That's Michael Bloomberg's contribution to the world. Okay, with all of their monies, these great benefactors contributing to evil causes, to undermine entire social systems and civilizations, to bring them down. All right, Warren Buffett is the number one greatest benefactor, the most charitable evil man in the world. And then number two, Bill and Melinda Gates come in second. Michael Bloomberg, number three, and then George Soros is the fourth. So I just mentioned George Soros. He contributed $531 million. To create more havoc in the world last year. And then fifth is Chuck Pini, who contributed something like $482 million. And he's a liberal, but not quite as dangerous as some of the others on the list. You know, not the first time this has happened. It was John D. Rockefeller that helped put liberal pastor Harry Emerson Fosdick in place and developed the World Council of Churches in the 1820s and 1830s. John D. Rockefeller gave Margaret Sanger her first big donations. And by the way, Harry Emerson Fosdick wrote helpful articles for Sanger's birth control review at the same time. So they were all together in one big happy family. John D. Rockefeller, at the beginning, working very hard to destroy and to destroy and to destroy as early as the 1920s. And to this day, John D. Rockefeller Foundation supports hard left groups like the Tides Foundation, the Services Employees International Union Education Support Fund, and the race baiting acorn like advancement project. So they're still up to no good after all these years. And you say, why is this? Well, it's because absolute power corrupts absolutely, and absolute wealth corrupts absolutely as well. So the problem, of course, is human pride. The problem, ultimately, is a lack of the fear of God and the human pride that inevitably comes with big wealth and big power. That's why God is always decentralizing control systems everywhere he goes, while man is always trying to centralize control and centralize power bases as well. It's interesting. These liberal groups, these liberal dollars, are attempting to do something better in the world. For example, one of the big projects for the Bill and Melinda Gates project is to bring sanitation to places like India. They're trying to develop toilets.
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem. They're trying to bring a sanitation to a place where 600 million people defecate openly. All right. But the problem in India is religious.
Right.
They have the wrong worldview. They have the wrong religion. They don't distinguish between good and evil. That's blurred in the Eastern Maya. The idea that everything is God, including the thing that you just defecated. I'm serious. Yeah. I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm just saying this is their worldview. They worship the cow. And I guess the cow's defecations.
Yeah.
Now, friends, this is a bad religion. Hello? And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation will never acknowledge that. And for that reason, what they're doing in their philanthropic efforts to somehow white paint on these tombs of nations and peoples whose worldview and religious perspectives are entirely befouled will be entirely futile. Their efforts to change these nations will be entirely futile.
Yeah, it's interesting. When we were in Germany not too long ago with Abigail, my daughter, at an international debate tournament, she was witnessing to an atheist who her goal in life was to try to make a lot of money so that she could make changes in the world. Abby said, you know, there was a guy that did that many years ago, considered the wisest and the most rich man ever it existed. His name's Solomon. You may have heard of him. Yeah. And at the end of his time of doing this, he looked back on everything that he did and said it was all meaningless. And that's exactly what's going to happen with this.
These liberal dollars are destructive dollars. They're going down the rat hole, and they're not doing any good. They're actually counterproductive. They fund educational institutions that have deconstructed knowledge. They tend to put their money into universities. A lot of these philanthropic folks are sending money back into liberal universities. And of course, the liberal universities are doing what they can to undermine all of human civilization and to destroy social systems and to destroy a God-ordained view of sexuality and social order. And because they're doing that, they're planting the seeds of a destruction for entire civilizations. This is what the liberal dollars are doing, my friends. Just admit it. These dollars, these billions upon billions of dollars coming out of Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and George Soros, they're going down the rat hole and they're not doing any good. They refuse to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ and really transform lives. The highest value, you know, in the city of man is the glory of man. And ultimately, this is why the philanthropic dollars. You realize that these billionaires would put $500 million into a university building to put their name on the outside of that thing in rock so that 150 years from now, their legacy is still honored and remembered by 100 million people over the next 100 years. That's what matters in the city of man. The city of man is always after the glory of man, and the glory of man is always of a more of a value than money for even the richest guys who have ever lived. Man reflects God's image in this regard. Glory is essential, but of course, it's the glory of man. Man wants to glorify man. He doesn't want to glorify God, and that's the difference. Why is glory the number one value for the richest people on earth? Well, because they are made in the image of God, and they're made for glory. They're made to glorify somebody. But of course, what they do, what fallen man does, he twists it, and he wants to glorify himself. And so that becomes fame. And the glory of man becomes the highest value for man in the city of man, because the glory of man is the essential purpose for life. Now, of course, that's twisted, that's wrong, that's evil. It turns out that man's ultimate end or goal in life should have been to glorify God and to enjoy him forever, but they lose that. Well, as we wrap up the program, we need to consider what it is to give charitably and to give out of a loving heart and to give with the right motivation to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And friends, I think to answer this question, the latest documentary produced on a Kenya orphanage, a documentary called Mully. We just watched it over the weekend. We watched it as a family. Then we watched it with our church Sunday night. It was a tremendous, tremendous story of a man who rejected government dollars, became rather wealthy in Kenya. He was an indigenous African in Kenya who became very, very wealthy and then quit all of his investments and contributed all of them to the to an orphanage and to bringing hundreds of orphans into his own home. The story is amazing.
Wow.
On 100 different levels. I don't have enough time to give you the entire story of how a man was able to do something through a private means and through his own relational involvement in the lives of these of hundreds upon hundreds of little boys and girls. But friends, eventually he helped 12,000 orphans in Kenya and developed hundreds of acres of farmland and provided for the needs of the orphans and had so much crops coming out of these huge farms that he developed around the orphanage that they export to the European food market. They feed Europe. So these orphanages in Kenya have been feeding Europe because there's a man who became a Christian and began to disciple these young people and got them involved in these work projects and raise them to become godly young men and young women in the nation of Kenya. So there are examples of philanthropy that are actually doing amazing things, but typically in other countries, not in ours. Now, a couple of things that I think I want to say about charity. First thing is never fund anything unless the gospel is preached and taught, and discipleship in the principles of God's word is an everyday element in that ministry. Okay? Again, friends, we don't want to be throwing good money after bad over a wall and just providing some little charitable offering somewhere and sponsoring a child who is not being discipled in the word of God on a daily basis. Remember that that's our end goal. That's what we want. If they're feeding orphans but not giving the gospel of Jesus and the Proverbs Bible study guides, forget it. Don't fund it. What matters is that these families are being discipled. What matters is that the gospel of Jesus is central. Always support evangelism discipleship, family discipleship, prison discipleship, college discipleship, but be funding the discipleship programs. This is what matters. This is how lives will change. Secondly, if a man is setting out to reverse the curse and eradicate poverty on his own terms, it's another babble. Okay, it's not going to happen. It's useless. It's another pipe dream. Okay, if he's trying to reverse the curse and Jesus doesn't play a part in it and the redemption of Christ is not working, get out. Don't get involved in those charitable offerings. Do not provide to the United Way. Do not offer to those charitable systems where they're not pressing the gospel of Jesus Christ and his claims upon the people that are receiving the monies. If a man is setting out to reverse the curse and eradicate poverty on his own terms, on man's terms, it's just another babble, and it will come down, baby. It will come down. Thirdly, he asks, what about ministries that deal with social sins like abortion and homosexuality and pornography? Well, as we've said before, we want to be concerned with calling people, individual people, to repentance and faith in Christ first. We're not just issue-oriented, okay? We're not just talking about reversing Obergefell and getting Roy Moore in as the U.S. senator. We're not talking about that. We're concerned, first and foremost, with the souls of men and repentance. Now, we are concerned with bodies and souls. We're concerned with the child who's murdered and the soul of the woman that's going to hell. Okay, both. We're involved on both sides of this. Now, we're not just issue-oriented here. We're not just interested in shifting the political systems in relation to abortion. Without the change of hearts of hundreds of thousands of millions of young women away from the existentialism of John Paul Sartre, friends, without a radical shift from the me-centric life, the self-centric life that has become so popular in American evangelical churches, without the shift in the me-centricness of all of life, you're not going to change the world. Okay, it's not going to happen. We want to change political laws, and we want to see hearts change. And the heart change is more fundamental. So be very, very careful about these social organizations that are interested, that are not interested in calling men and women to repentance. And then Galatians 6 brings in another principle. We should do good to all men, but especially to those of the household of faith. That is, our dollars must go first to the church, to Christian ministries that work with Christian families, and to the Christian poor first in our churches, and then secondarily to others. So that's a priority that's laid out in Galatians chapter 6. We do good to all men, but especially, first and foremost, to those of the household of faith. Well, as we wrap up the program, friends, let me just remind you this ministry is a full-orbed evangelism discipleship ministry. Okay, we're looking at from the bottom up, from the individual to the corporate systems, from pushing towards discipleship and family life to the changing of entire institutions and political systems that fund Planned Parenthood. We want to disciple the individuals and disciple the nations, realizing that the discipleship of the individual and the family discipleship is the first and foremost, and that's where it's going to begin. We want to encourage family discipleship, applying the whole Word of God to the whole person at all of his institutions, okay? We don't want a thin-coated evangelism. That's not enough. We want to teach them whatsoever Jesus has commanded. The Great Commission has been so much lost in the modern conception of religion, but let's get back to the original commission. What was it that Jesus told us to do? Baptize them and teach them to observe whatsoever I've commanded. We want to rebuild foundations. We want to build the Christian family. And without biblical manhood, without biblical fathering, without biblical husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, we're going to see a dying of the faith and a weakening of the church. And of course, a massive increase in women involved as pastors in just about every denomination because of the breakdown of the human family. So we want to find opportunities to disciple families and fathers and rebuild foundations. And I guess, again, we must go against the most powerful enemies to the Christian family, and that is secular education and secular culture, these idea generators in which powerful ideas are used to create massive apostasies and to destroy the Christian family and the Christian church. These are the things that are killing the Christian faith in the West, and the same thing's happening in Africa and Asia and South America because of the powerful, powerful systems of secular education, secular culture. And that's one reason we traveled to Mexico. We traveled to the Philippines. We're off to Africa next year to warn our brothers and sisters in nations around the world about these corrupting systems of secular education, secular culture that have done much to destroy the Christian family and the Christian church and the Christian faith in the modern day. It's for us to engage in a ministry that strengthens the things that remain, This is the time in which we strengthen the things that remain by going back to the Great Commission and teaching them to observe whatsoever Jesus has commanded. That is the objective of the Generations Radio Ministry, and I encourage you to support our ministry as we approach the end of this year, especially as we are looking at raising tens of thousands of dollars in order to provide free resources to our African brothers and sisters next year. It will cost us upwards of $40,000 to $50,000 in order to get these materials into the hands of our African brothers and sisters and hopefully salvage the faith from the secular systems that have so corrupted Africa as well. So friends, if you'd like to support this radio ministry, just simply go to our website, generations.org, and click on Give today. This is Kevin Swanson, and I'd like to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Monday, December 11th, AD 2017. This is the World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Nigerian African Christians are accusing their government of only paying lip service to protecting churches, while violence against thousands of Christians continues at the hands of Muslim Fulani herdsmen, reports World Watch Monitor. At the end of last month, the Muslim herdmen attacked miners in the Rayam district of Plateau State who are mostly Christian, killing four of them. Pastor Solomon Dalyop has decried these attacks despite increased military presence in the area. Besides attacks from Islamic extremists, members of the occult group Badu killed three members of a church and a pastor in Lagos State last month. Occult members have also seriously injured Christians and sent death threats. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Over 10,000 Vietnamese attended a prayer rally in the country's capital of Hanoi, led by evangelist Franklin Graham last Friday. Graham said it was unprecedented in size for the communist country in which Christians are facing increased persecution, according to Open Doors USA. Graham met with Deputy Prime Minister and Foreign Minister Pham Binh Minh, who expressed gratitude for the work of Graham's ministry, Samaritan's Purse. Graham released a statement ahead of the prayer rally.
I'm Franklin Graham. Right now, I'm in Hanoi, Vietnam, where I'll be working with the local churches this weekend to preach and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the 500th year of the Reformation. We're coming up on the Christmas season, and the church has asked that I would come and to share with the people of the North that God loves them, that Jesus Christ died for their sins, that he rose from the grave. And so pray for us as we come to Hanoi with the gospel. We're very grateful that the government has given us this permission, and we're looking forward to see what God does.
On Saturday, the Iraq Prime Minister declared his country has achieved final victory over the Islamic State, reports Reuters. This came 2 days after the Russian military announced they had defeated ISIS in neighboring Syria. At its height, ISIS held parts of Iraq and Syria the size of West Virginia, with brutal rule over 8 million people and control over oil fields, agriculture, and large arsenals. With the Islamists now on the run, the Iraqi Prime Minister declared today a national holiday every year. Proverbs 29:2 declares, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, the people groan." British medical professionals who work in reproductive health are now free to object on moral grounds about prescribing abortifacient contraceptives, reports Christian Today. This comes after the Christian Medical Fellowship urged the country's Faculty of Sexual and Reproductive Health to change their professional diplomas to no longer require the ability to prescribe all forms of contraception. The faculty's president detailed the change last Thursday in the British Medical Journal. A global survey by Ipsos, with nearly 30,000 interviews over 38 countries, found many Western Europeans, among others, are apostatizing on basic Christian beliefs. For example, most people in Germany, Norway, Australia, Great Britain, Sweden, Denmark, Canada, France, Spain, Japan, and Belgium do not believe in heaven or hell. These results came in despite many in those countries claiming to believe in God. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment." The U.S. Justice Department is officially investigating the murder giant Planned Parenthood and other biomedical research companies over the sale of human tissue from babies. Last Thursday, the department requested documents from the Senate Judiciary Committee related to an investigation into the issue. Last month, the FBI also requested the unredacted documents from the committee. This comes over 2 years after David DeLeiden, with the Center for Medical Progress, released videos exposing Planned Parenthood's practices. May God bring justice on the lawless and bloodthirsty. After President Trump withdrew from the Paris Climate Accord earlier this year, California Governor Jerry Brown criticized Trump in an interview on CBS's 60 Minutes yesterday. He said, quote, "I don't think President Trump has a fear of the Lord, the fear of the wrath of God, which leads one to more humility. This is such a reckless disregard for the truth and for the existential consequences that can be unleashed," end quote. And now wildfires are raging across California since early December. In all, the state's 2017 wildfires have scorched over 500,000 acres, up from about 240,000 acres burned in fires last year. Meanwhile, Brown has approved legislation this year to allow gender-neutral bathrooms and to allow jail time in some cases for not using the preferred pronoun for someone pretending to be the other gender. Student-led prayer may continue now in the state of Texas following a lawsuit by the American Humanist Association against the Birdville Independent School District, reports One News Now. Back in March, the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled unanimously in favor of the school to have student-led prayer before school board meetings. The Supreme Court recently denied an appeal by the humanist organization, upholding the lower court's ruling. Beverly Nelson, one of those who accused Senate hopeful Roy Moore of harassment, told ABC News recently she actually added notes to the high school yearbook inscription supposedly signed by and attributed to Moore as proof of their relationship. Moore has denied signing the yearbook or knowing Nelson at the time. Last Friday, President Trump called on voters to support Moore in tomorrow's election, and a poll released Saturday by Florida-based Gravis Marketing put Moore 4 points ahead of his opponent, Democrat Doug Jones. And finally, a Chinese girl named Katie Poehler, adopted by an American family in Michigan, got to reunite with her birth parents recently after 20 years. The Chinese parents gave their daughter up in hopes of her finding an adoptive family instead of having an abortion. But they left a note with Katie saying, quote, "If God has sympathy for us and you care about us, let's meet on the broken ridge in 10 or 20 years," end quote. In God's providence, that meeting finally came. Katie said afterward, quote, "The love is almost overwhelming," end quote. As you know, the Worldview and Generations Ministries are committed to bringing a biblical worldview back to the news, to family life, and to the education of our children. We are grateful for your trust in the work we do. As the Lord has blessed you this year, please consider blessing this ministry with a much-needed year-end donation right now as we continue to declare Jesus as Lord over all. Go to theworldview.com/give. That's theworldview.com/give. And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes on this Monday, December 11th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.